This is Midwest Pet Life on WGIL. I'm Candace Doniolo, and every week we dig into the stuff that really matters for the animals that you love. Brought to you by your locally owned pet store in Galesburg, Dante and Dory's Pet Emporium. Let's get into it. Summer is one of my favorite times of a year with a pet. The long evenings, the open windows, the walks that don't require 17 layers of clothing and mittens and boots and slush, it's a good thing in the summer. But summer also has a few things in it that I think about every year, and these things can sneak up on any pet owner who's just trying to have a great time with their pet outside. And some of them are obvious, and some of them I guarantee you haven't even thought about. So today we're going to cover the ones that actually matter, not to scare you, but because a little bit of knowledge right now can save you a really hard day later. And that's what the show is all about. This is Midwest Pet Life on WGIL. I'm Candace Doniolo, the owner of Dante and Dory's Pet Emporium in downtown Galesburg, and we are officially in summer mode. Today's episode is our Summer Hazards Guide for Pet Owners, dogs, cats, and a few things that apply across the board. First, we have to start with hazard number one, and I know you probably are guessing it: fleas, ticks, and mosquitoes. These three are the summer pest trifecta. And in the Midwest, all three are real, and they happen to us even, right? Fleas thrive in warm, humid conditions. Ticks are active the moment the temperatures are above freezing and stay active all summer. And mosquitoes are just as annoying. Plus, they carry heartworm, which is transmitted through a bite and can be fatal if untreated in dogs and cats. If your pet is on a prescription prevention from your vet, that's one option, and I encourage you to do some of your own research on those different brands to determine what all your options might be with them, and that could be a conversation worth having with them if you haven't already. But I also want you to know that there are excellent natural options that work just as well, and you need to know about them, especially for pet owners who prefer to avoid chemically-based treatments directly on their pet and who want an additional layer of protection, for their yard and their home. Because some of these things you can spray directly into your yard or around your plants and the front. And you can actually put these recommendations directly onto your pets and yourself. Both of the brands I'm going to recommend here are things that I use in my own home on me and even with my kids. Wonderside is a brand. It's one of my favorites. It's all plant-based. And it's made of natural essential oils like cedar and lemongrass. So, you know, if you're somebody who is into essential oils, you could probably, and has them in your house, you could drop a little bit of that into some water bottles and use that as a spray as well. But it is proven in lab testing that it can kill and repel 98 to 100% of fleas, ticks, and mosquitoes on contact. And it's safe for dogs and cats of all ages when used as directed, including on puppies and kittens and seniors. And you can spray it directly onto your pet, use it in your own home, and like I said, even on yourself. You can put it in your yard. I mean, they even make the kind where they attach to your hoses, and you can just spray it directly from the bottle. Wonderside was actually featured on Shark Tank even, and we carry it at Dante and Dory's, and it smells so good. The rosemary and the peppermint are both popular scents. Then there's also Scout's Honor, which we love as well. It's also worth knowing. It's widely available. They make flea and tick lines, and they're all plant-based as well and cruelty-free, and their products are also available at our store and other places too. One practical tip, though, for tick season specifically is that after any time outdoors in grass or in woods, you know, you want to run your fingers just through your pet's coat, especially around their ears, even look in their ears. Dante once had a tick inside the ear, and his groomer found it. So fortunately, we got that out quickly, but you can check between their toe pads, under their collar, around their neck, and around their tail, and under the inside of their legs. You know, ticks like to hide where it's warm, where it's covered, and where a lot of the big pumping blood vessels are. And the sooner that you find one, the easier it is to remove safely. You know, we've removed our own before. You can get the little tick removers. You just want to make sure that you're prying it all out, monitor it for any issues. And then, of course, you know, if your child, As a child, you know, like another are like your child. If your dog or pet has one, monitor it. And of course, you can get blood tests done more frequently with your veterinarian to make sure that there isn't any disease there that's happened. Okay, so the second hazard here is water, right? And the stuff that you might not have thought about as it results to water. Most people know not to leave their pets in a hot car, right? Or, you know, near a lake, unattended. But there are a few other water-related hazards that I want you to know about. Blue-green algae is a big problem. I live on a lake and I see algae build up sometimes, and I have tests that I could even use in the water. I don't, Dante and Dory don't go in the water, but my old dog Clover, I was telling you about, even when we had our wedding, we were taking our wedding photos and she went running into the lake. So it is important if your dog loves water, or if you're worried that your pet is going to fall into water and you see any algae, you might want to consider getting a blue algae water test. They sell them online and you might be able to find them here locally too, but this is a really serious issue, and I don't think nearly enough people know about it. Blue-green algae, it blooms in warm, still, fresh water during summer months. So your ponds, your lakes, slow-moving streams, even, you know, backyard decorative ponds. And it can kill a pet in as little as 15 to 20 minutes. You might have seen news stories about this over the last 5 years, you know, up in like the Wisconsin area, northern Illinois too. Like, there were some really big problems with this. So just grabbing a ball or a stick from affected water or licking the algae off of their fur can be fatal. So water-containing toxic algae blooms often looks like a pea green paint. Okay, it's really, really bright green. Or like there's slime or film on the surface. And when wind pushes it to the shorelines, this is exactly where dogs like to drink, of course, if they are into that stuff. The concentration there is even higher. So the rule I follow and I tell clients is simple. When in doubt, stay out. If the water looks off, if it's murky green, you do not want to swim in it. Keep your pet out of it. And if they do get in, rinse them off before they have a chance to like groom themselves, okay? Rinse them off the hose, wipe down their paws, let them drink some clean water, and then check your state's department health website for local algae bloom advisories during summer months. I know like the Illinois DNR tracks these. All right, the other issue is pooling water, not just pools and not just those that algae that might be in some pooled water, but pooling puddles of water. Smaller but worth knowing is that these puddles and standing water after rain are breeding grounds for bacteria, including leptospirosis, okay, which is a serious bacterial infection that dogs can pick up just from wading through or drinking contaminated water. You know, some dogs love playing in puddles and running through it, and then they come inside your house and they start to lick their paws because maybe they're a little itchy or something's building up, or they just like the feeling of it. That is that bacteria that's getting into their system. So if you can wipe your dog's paws before they come inside and start licking, it's a small habit, but it will really pay off. And I know I'm talking a lot about dogs as examples, but cats or any other animals that are outside that you care about, you should be thinking about the same stuff. Now let's go to the pools. For pool safety, I want you to know that not every dog can swim. And not every dog that can swim knows how to get out of a pool. So if you have a pool and a dog, make sure they know where the steps are. And I would encourage you to practice it with them, okay? Because a dog that falls in can't always find the exit. And the attempting to find the exit and, you know, swimming around and around, they will exhaust themselves and they will swallow a lot of water. Okay, I want you to consider a life vest for big water excursions, or if you know that you will be outside in your yard, maybe let's say mowing your yard and your dog's outside with you and they like to get into the pool, just throw that life jacket on them. I mean, the same goes for children, right? You know, we want to have be very safe around water when unsupervised. Some short snouted breeds that I mentioned earlier that have breathing problems with those collars also have a hard time in water, the bulldogs and the pugs. And always rinse your dog off after pool time. That chlorine on their coat and their paws will add up. So rinse them off. Hazard 3 are thunderstorms and noise anxiety. Summer in the Midwest means storms. And for a lot of dogs and some cats, storms are genuinely terrifying. The combination of sound, the pressure changes, the static electricity in the air, their senses pick up on all of it. And for anxious animals, it can send them into a full panic spiral. If your pet struggles with storms, here are the things I reach for first, okay? Obviously, calming aids. There are a variety of calming aids. There are several good options that don't require any kind of a prescription. Like you can try the melatonin. It's gentle. It works on many dogs. Talk to your vet about the right dosage for your pet. There are calming chews that would contain an ingredient like L-theanine or ashwagandha. Another option. And there are several great brands that that have these ingredients. And there's also Rescue Remedy, which has a flower essence in it that many pet owners swear by, and it's safe for both dogs and cats. I mean, we have CBDs and oils and tinctures that specifically have the anti-anxiety and calming mechanisms right in them. And of course, for like severe anxiety, your vet may recommend something stronger. And that's a completely valid conversation to have, because we just need to be creating safe spaces for them. That anxiety and stress has other, side effects to it as well. There's no medal for letting your pet suffer through a storm when there are safe options available. Another thing you can do that is unrelated to any type of a medication is just to create a safe space. A crate with a blanket over it, a quiet interior room. I know that Dory and Dante, actually, when there's fireworks happening in our neighborhood, they go into a closet that we have that's actually in the middle of the house. So it's not even an exterior, like on the exterior walls. It's like they knew exactly that that's where they hear the least amount of sound. And it's very dark in there, obviously, when the doors are closed. We want to create a safe space for them, a spot that they already love. I mean, heck, maybe it could be under a bed or in that closet, but we just don't want to force them out. So if they have already found somewhere, let them feel safe, okay? Let them stay there. You can sit with them if you want to. Your calm presence does help. You know, we've turned on the TV loud before, or, but it's usually on like a calming show or a show that they're used to hearing all the time. There are also products like thunder shirts and happy hoodies that essentially, put that compressed pressure around their body, like swaddling a baby to stop them from crying. And like, as I mentioned, those CBD oils and chews are treatments, again, not medical, but they really do work. I've used them on my own dogs, and they're worth trying if you haven't yet. So you have to take these kind of things into effect before the storm starts. Some products will work within 30 to 40 minutes. So that's why I just like to look at the weather ahead of time, So when you hear that there's going to be thunder, then just go ahead and get ready. Get your house ready. Hazard 4 is heat, and it comes on faster than you think. Dogs and cats, they cannot cool themselves the way that we do. They don't sweat through their skin. They do typically like sweat through their paws. That's how they cool down. Okay. So dogs cool primarily through that panting, and cats by grooming themselves. So when it's hot and humid, the panting becomes less effective for them, right? And that heat stroke can come on quickly. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to Dante that has changed, his life. And this is the only thing that I can think of that happened. But there was a day here in Galesburg, maybe 2 years ago, where it felt like maybe it was over 110 degrees, but it felt high. It wasn't 110. I mean, I don't even know if we've hit that, but there were warnings all over the radio station about, make sure if you're outside, not for very long, bring your pets in. I mean, I was hearing it. And I let the dogs out to go to the bathroom, and I was making lunch, and I lost track of time. And then when I went outside, I could tell that Dante was really hot. He was panting. He was in shade even. And I think it was only 30 minutes. That's the thing, is I just made lunch. It wasn't like an hour or 2 hours. Like, it was only 30 minutes. And I brought him inside, and within 45 minutes, he started having seizures. And he had 17 seizures in 24 hours. And I couldn't. It was horrible. I hated watching it. And then we started thinking he must have gotten into a chemical. He must have had like eaten rat poison or something. We thought something had gone wrong. But we tested his blood, and there were no signs of any chemicals in his system. And one thing that can happen with some dogs is when they get overheated, their brain literally, like, you know, can't handle it. And he started seizing. And so he is now on phenobarbital pretty regularly, which is, you know, it's not great to be on medicine for your whole life. It shortens that lifespan. And we want our pets with us as long as they possibly can be, right? So I feel like I'm a good, you know, dog mom here, and I hear that happen to me. So I know that it can happen to anybody. So here are some signs of overheating in dogs, right? That heavy, labored panting, dark red gums, thick saliva. If they're stumbling at all, I think that we even saw that in him to begin with. He was acting strange when he came in the house. And then even I was trying to cool him down in the air conditioning, and it just didn't work. A glassy look in their eyes, okay? And in cats, it's often that they're hiding or they also are panting, which cats rarely do unless they're really stressed or overheated and lethargy, okay? They're getting tired. If you see any of these, then move them to a cool area immediately, cool water on the paws. I mean, that's why it's, you know, great to even like dunk their paws in cold water, put them in the tub, just with a little bit of water, cold water. You can put ice in the tub too. You know, we just want to cool their neck and their belly. But I guess you don't want the water to be too cold, right? You don't want it to be ice cold, but we need it to be cool. And call your vet and let them know what you're seeing, what symptoms you're seeing, and then they can assess next steps for you. The most at-risk groups here are senior pets, overweight pets, those flat-faced breeds like bulldogs and pugs, Persian cats, and French bulldogs. These animals need extra care in summer heat and should spend the hottest part of the day indoors. So if you're thinking about outdoor time, early morning and evening walks are your friend. So before 10 a.m. and after 6 p.m. when temperatures and pavement are safer. And it's wild to even bring up this discussion because I have relatives that live in the desert that are out in Phoenix, Arizona. And I know that their routines in those hot, hot summer months are to go to the dog parks like before 7 a.m. because it gets hot so early. But I also know now that sometimes our temperature here in Illinois is higher than their temperature in Arizona. And so the same rules apply here in hot weather months. And another hazard number five here in the summer is hot pavement. And this is something that, you know, I just didn't think of for a long time, but this is the test. This is a test when you have, you know, hot weather and you're going out for walks on the sidewalk, is to just touch it, like touch it yourself, right? Put your hand down against the asphalt or on the pavement for 7 seconds. Okay, we're not just quick touch. It's hold it there for 7 seconds. Because remember, that they're not walking with shoes on. If it's too hot on your hand, it's too hot for your dog's paw, okay? Pavement can reach temperatures of 150 degrees on a hot day, even when the temperature is only in the mid-80s, if that sun's hitting it. So look out for that. Burned paw pads are painful and can take weeks to heal. You know, just stick to the grass or dirt or mulch areas that you have. You know, and when you can walk, of course, walk during those cooler hours or look into those like dog booties. Yes, they look funny, but yes, they work. There's also paw wax or even your own, you know, petroleum jelly, the aquifer jelly, if you have that at home. I mean, it can leave a mess if it's not wiped off, but usually when you put it on before you go outside, then they will wear it off and it absorbs in while they're outside. So there isn't anything left on in it when you come back in. But this is a great option to protect and hydrate their paws in the warm months and winter too. And we carry both of those at Dante and Dory's. And one more summer paw tip here while we're here is after walks, especially on days when the lawn chemicals or fertilizers might have been applied in your neighborhood, or if you do that at your own home, you really want to wipe your dog's paws before they come inside and lick them clean. Lawn chemicals are one of the most toxic things to pets. And so if you have seen any changes in your pet's skin or coat or behavior, that could be a prime cause of it. As well as if you go on walks and you let your dog walk in treated grass at your neighbor's house. So because what's on the ground gets into their paws and what's on their paws gets into their mouth. One more thing for our cat owners here who might feel like this episode was mostly about dogs. You're right, that cats do spend time, you know, more time indoors. And that does protect them from a lot of this. But a few things still apply. Make sure your indoor cat has access to cool rooms and fresh water all day in the summer. Cats in homes without air conditioning on a 95 degree day are at real risk, okay? Especially older cats or cats with heart and kidney conditions. A ceramic fountain, you know, or one of those metal fountains that we talked about in previous episodes too, that keeps water moving and cool, and something many cats will be drawn to and will drink more readily than in a still bowl. Okay, they're attracted to the trickling water. More water, healthier kidneys, especially in these hot summer months. And if you have cats that go outside, summer is when they're most likely to bring in the fleas. You know, one flea can become an infestation in your home within weeks. Prevention matters for indoor cats as well. So get those sprays that we mentioned earlier in the episode. Summer is wonderful. It truly is. And none of what we talked about today should stop you from getting outside and enjoying it with your animals. This is just your checklist, the things to be aware of so that you can enjoy the season without a surprise trip to the emergency vet. So a quick recap for you. Prevention of fleas, ticks, and mosquitoes, both conventional and natural options. Blue-green algae, when in doubt, stay out. Paw wipes after walks near standing water or treated lawns. A calm space and some calming tools ready for the storm season. Early morning and evening walks in the heat. And a pavement test, 7 seconds with the back of your hand. And if you want to stock up on anything we talked about today, Wonderside, Scout's Honor, calming chews, paw wipes, or booties, stop in to Dante and Dory's Pet Emporium in downtown Galesburg, and we will get you sorted. Subscribe to Midwest Pet Life wherever you listen to podcasts, or tune in regularly here on WGIL and WGIL.com. And if you have a summer pet question and you want me to tackle it, send it in to support@danteanddorys.com. It might just make it into one of our first Q&A episodes coming up later this summer. I'm Candace Daniolo. Take good care of those animals, and we'll see you next week.